Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. And as always, if you want to send a voicemail message in, you can always go to SiriusXM.com/getSirius. That's SiriusXM.com/getSirius. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. Got a couple of guests, Patrick Peterson, long time NFL defensive wizard. He's going to be on the show with us a little bit later on in the show. Got a little boxing to get into because he's got a big fight tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden for the junior welterweight crown, 140-pound crown. Shakur Stevenson goes up against Teofimo Lopez. Good fight. Can't wait. Big fight. No doubt about it. We're going to find out what these cats are made of. Because obviously one only has one loss on his record, but still elite. The other is undefeated. Looking real, real forward to watching that fight tomorrow night. Absolutely, positively can't wait to get into that. Wanted to start off by first saying this, however, though, because, you know, with some of the news that's going on, the Minnesota Vikings have fired their GM, Kwesi Adofo Mensah. They fired him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not surprised. This is the same Minnesota Vikings team that got rid of Sam Darnold after he started them off 14-2 before nosediving in the season regular season finale against the Detroit Lions last year and then dropping from a one seed to a fifth seed because he didn't win the division title and as a result had to go up against the Los Angeles Rams in the playoffs or the wild card playoff game where the Minnesota Vikings only scored 9 points. Sam Darnold got sacked 9 times, committed 2 turnovers, and they got shellacked by the Los Angeles Rams at that particular moment in time. And then you decide to go away from him and to let him walk away and go to the Seattle Seahawks for a $100 million deal, about $33 million a year. And what you say is we're going to place our faith in J.J. McCarthy. We're going to place our faith in J.J. McCarthy. Now, that makes absolutely no sense in my mind simply because J.J. McCarthy was drafted. I believe it was 10th overall. He was drafted as a rookie. And when he was drafted out of Michigan after winning a national championship, he immediately was out for the year before a game was played because he had a meniscus tear in his knee. And when that injury was suffered, okay, that's when you basically gave the round, you know, to Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold got at them the 14-2 record last year. Why, McCarthy hadn't performed in the NFL. He had performed in college. And why, before he took an opportunity to really, really prove himself, would you let Sam Darnold walk out the door and rely on a rookie when your wide receivers is Justin Jefferson and Addison? Let's not forget him. And Hockenson, your tight end. When you've got those kind of weapons, you can't sit up there and rely on a rookie behind the center, which is essentially what J.J. McCarthy was, unless he's so spectacular, it can't miss. But the Minnesota Vikings went in a different direction, and now the Seattle Seahawks benefiting off of the superb play of a Sam Darnold who was like 29-4. Over the last 2 years against everybody in the National Football League outside of the Los Angeles Rams, who he's now 2-3 against because he smoked them in the NFC Championship game by throwing for nearly 350 yards with 3 touchdowns. When you see something like that happens, you're like, how the hell they got that quarterback? How did we let that walk out the door? How did we not see that that's not a decision that we needed to make? That's why Adofo Mensah lost his job. I don't care what anybody says. You can't make a decision like that when Justin Jefferson, an all-world receiver, is reduced to looking average because people can't get him the ball. You can't do that. But the Minnesota Vikings did it, and that's why, as a result, their GM is now out of a job. There's no way to slice it. You can look at it any other way you want to. When you got that kind of talent, you can't afford. You just cannot afford to miss out on that and to lose that. You just can't. I don't care what anybody says. That's what happened to the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin O'Connell, quarterback whisperer, let's hold off on that. He's a hell of a coach. Quarterback whisperer, let's hold off on that. At some point in time, we just got to look at things for what it's worth. And we got to understand what we're looking at here. And I look at the Minnesota Vikings because every time I think about Sam Darnold, I'm like, listen, I have my reservations about Sam Darnold. To some degree, I still do. But I got news for you. It's not going to be in favor of J.J. McCarthy. What the hell was that about? That's what we really, really have to look at. There's no way around it. You got Jordan Addison. You got Justin Jefferson. You got T.J. Hockenson. How do you let a quarterback walk out the door for a rookie that didn't do a damn thing in the NFL yet? I was on the air months ago saying that Justin Jefferson should ask to be traded because of the stupidity of that move. But ultimately, that brings us to Sam Darnold, because when we look at Sam Darnold in this football, in this year's playoffs, and the way that he has played in a 41-6 rout of the San Francisco 49ers, in a thriller, 31-27 against the Los Angeles Rams, and what they were able to pull off and how the way he played. You saw it, 346 yards passing, 3 touchdown passes. Sam Darnold has proven he's been able to fling the football. And if you remember when he was a New York Jet his first 3 years, you had the GM Douglas at the time saying, it's not about him, it's about us. We don't have, he could be a star in this league. It's really us and what we don't have. That's what he said about Sam Darnold. And now here the man is in a Super Bowl, on the verge of winning the Super Bowl championship. And this morning on television, I was asked the question, well, who's under the most pressure? I mean, who are we looking at in terms of producing? Is it Drake May or is it Sam Darnold? I actually said Drake May. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I don't like the way Drake May has really, really looked during the playoffs. He's been sacked 15 times, 5 times each of the 3 playoff games. He's had 6 turnovers. He's completing less than 60% of his passes, and is only averaging 178 yards per game passing. That's nothing to write home about if you're trying to win a Super Bowl championship. That ain't going to cut it against the Seattle Seahawks. I'm here to tell you that right now. The suspense goes right out the window. Drake May don't play better. He ain't more potent offensively. The Patriots ain't more potent offensively with Boutte and Diggs and the crew. You ain't winning. It's that simple. And when we look at the New England Patriots and we say, well, you know what? The defense is elite. They're only giving up, I mean, damn, what is it, 10, 12 points a game? Let me remind you, they went against the San Diego Chargers team, missing 2 of their offensive linemen. They went against the Houston Texans team, who was considered anemic offensively to begin with. Plus, they had to go into the game without Nico Collins. And also, your tight end, Schultz, got hurt in the second quarter. And then in the AFC Championship game, a damn blizzard came down in the second half. So all those things considered, you had a lot going for you. Divine and divine, you combine that with the fact that you didn't know your Patriots, and you had the weakest schedule, the softest schedule since of any team in the National Football League since the year 1999. When the Los Angeles Rams had a weak schedule, and they ended up going, you just look at it. Patriots have been they've benefited tremendously. But now they're going up against the Seattle team, who's arguably the most complete team in football, who, by the way, has a very elite defense that happens to be ranked number 1, better than Los Angeles, better than Houston, better than Denver. So what you going to do now? You got to be able to score. And if you don't do that, I got news for you. It's not going to be well. It's not going to bode well for the New England Patriots. That's how I'm looking at it. That's my vantage point. What's yours? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. A couple of other things I wanted to get to. The Eagles hired a new offensive coordinator. His name is Sean Mannion, former quarterback coach for the Green Bay Packers. All right? He's 33 years of age. He's coached for just 2 years. He was broken in as an offensive assistant for the Green Bay Packers in 2024 before being promoted to quarterback's coach this past season. And obviously he's seen as somebody who's been very beneficial to Jordan Love, who completed 66% of his passes, threw for over 3,381 yards, 23 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. They're giving Sean Mannion a lot of credit for that. They're saying he's a boy wonder. He's a future star to make, and blah, 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 blah. Couple of questions need to be asked. Excuse me. Couple of questions. Number one. When we look at Sean Mannion, let's understand, got no issues with him. He's 33. If you show at a very young age that you're beyond just an upstart, but that you're a special, special talent that deserves the level of recognition that you're being given, more power to you. I wish him nothing but the best. My issue is not with him. My issue is with the Philadelphia Eagles. You've tried this before. 2023, Brian Johnson, fired after his one season in Philadelphia. And by the way, he had the offense ranked 8th in the league, 7th in scoring. And he still lost his job. They brought in Kellen Moore, who helps them capture a Super Bowl. And then they go on. He goes on and moves on to New Orleans. So you try Kevin Petullo again in 2025, fired after one season. Offense was ranked 24th, 19th in scoring offense. Far different from what Brian Johnson was doing in 2023. The point is, when you have these first-time coordinators, they usually haven't worked for Philadelphia under Nick Sirianni, the head coach. So why would you do it again? Why couldn't you have gone out there and hired somebody with an extensive amount of experience that was familiar with what other teams do schematically and beyond? Why wouldn't you do that? Again, no disrespect or no putting down Sean Mannion at all, because I'm not trying to do that. I'm simply making the case. Why would you bring in another first-time coordinator with Jalen Hurts, still potentially with A.J. Brown, with Devontae Smith, with Dallas Goedert, with Saquon Barkley? Why would you bring in a first-time coordinator? Don't you need somebody more experienced, Philadelphia? Especially since Nick Sirianni is more viewed as a CEO as opposed to somebody that's actually calling plays all the time, even though he calls plays sometimes but not often. Why would you do that? It makes no sense to me. But what's the bigger question is this. Why hasn't anybody seemed to want the job? Wasn't Mike McDaniel supposed to want this? Why would he choose the Chargers job over Philadelphia? If you're telling me the Southern California weather, I'm down for that. I don't rule that out at all as a possibility, and I don't blame him one bit. More power to you, my brother. But if it's football reasons, and it's purely football reasons, what makes the Los Angeles Chargers job better than the Philadelphia Eagles job as an offensive coordinator? What makes that better? What makes it better? Because right now, that's what inquiring minds want to know. Sean Mannion, he's worked in the NFL under Sean McVay, under Matt LaFleur, under Zach Taylor, under Jed Fish, under Clint Kubiak, under Kevin O'Connell, under Dave Canales, under Kevin Stefanski, under Wes Phillips, under Grant Udinski. That exposure is going to help him immensely. It brings a level of credibility, probably why he got the damn job. Again, not faulting him, not questioning him at all. I'm just wondering about the Eagles and what you're doing and how wise was it to go in this direction with a first-time coordinator. That's what I'm wondering about. Like I said, inquiring minds want to know. 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I'm going to get into some NBA stuff involving trade talk surrounding Giannis Antetokounmpo. I watched Cooper Flagg last night drop 49. 49. Brother special. And, oh, by the way, he hates losing, and he loves playing defense. Got to give credit where credit is due. Make no mistake about it. I'm telling you right now, this man, Cooper Flagg, is special. 19 years of age, youngest to score that many points in an NBA game. Kyrie Irving being out, Anthony Davis being out. Cooper Flagg is emerging. Averaging 19 points a game. Not the strongest three-point shooter in the world right now, but definitely strong from the field. Got a handle, got a J, got moxie, got heart, ain't scared, finishes at the basket. And oh, by the way, he defends. Cooper Flagg is going to be a superstar in this league. From an American perspective, yeah, the great white hope. That's right. Can you imagine marketing him and putting the American flag behind him? Could you imagine what that would mean to him in the United States of America from a marketing standpoint? Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. I mean, come on now. It don't get much better than that. Cooper Flagg, that dude. Brother special. He can play. You know what's shocking the hell out of me? This cat, Knipple. Flagg's teammate out of Duke, who plays in Charlotte, who beat Dallas last night, 123-121, to spoil Flagg, you know, Flagg's night. This guy, Knipple, you know, they're talking about 34 points, 10 of 16 shooting from the field. I got it, averaging 18, 19 a game. I got it. He's a rookie. Ladies and gentlemen, he's shooting 43% from three-point range. That's Steph Curry production. I didn't see this coming from Knipple. I didn't see it coming. I knew he was smart as hell. I knew he was no scrub, but I didn't see this. I didn't see this. And I got news for you. It's great for the NBA to see whites who are not Europeans, but actually white American-born players flat out balling like that. Flat out balling. It's not bad because the brothers ain't going nowhere. You always going to have a bunch of brothers doing their things, being as exceptional and great as they are. But you know what? It's great and it's phenomenal and fantastic and unreal and marketable as Magic Johnson was. It helped to have Larry Bird. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And now you got Cooper Flagg looking like this. And Knipple looking like this. Look the hell out. I'm telling you that right now. I do agree with my man Tim Legler, though. He wasn't talking about those two. But he was talking about how NBA action, he's never seen as many players and as many teams come out as flat as they have looked this season. Tim Legler's absolutely right about that. He's absolutely right about that. I'm going to try to get him on today to talk to him about that because it's legit beef on his part. It really, really is. He's making a very valid point. He was on Bill Simmons' podcast talking about that. He's absolutely right. And I just want to say that. But when you talk about the future and the future being bright, look, did you see Cooper Flagg's attitude last night after he dropped 49 points? He was pissed because they lost. And this brother defends, and he takes pride in his defense. Cooper Flagg. He ain't there yet because of his three-point shooting, in my humble estimation. But it's coming. Cooper Flagg is the total package. He's coming. You heard it here. Not first, but you're hearing it here now. He's coming. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. One other point that I wanted to make, going back to the Bill Belichick story that we've lived on over the last couple of days. That I wanted to make real quick. Bill Polian is a 6-time executive of the year. Architect of those Buffalo Bills squad that went to 4 straight Super Bowls and lost. Before he was in Indianapolis and they won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning as their coach in 2006. He's 83 years of age. And he has a resume that we should not only respect but should revere. And when I saw his son post a message, I don't know if it was on X or wherever it was, essentially coming to his father's defense because of the heat his father has taken over the last couple of days. His son, Brian Polian, spoke up for his daddy. Spoke up and to some degree spoke out against me and others, First Take, other shows, ESPN, SiriusXM, that kind of thing. I want to say first off that I understand. First of all, any dad should want a son that wants to protect his father. Any want a child that wants to protect their father. any father that makes you proud. It's a very loving thing to do. And I want to say that Brian Polian's support of his dad was not unfounded. It was not based off of pure emotion. It's to be respected. But I would push back very respectfully, because how do you not respect the Polians, considering what Bill Polian has meant to the National Football League and the respect that he garners? Certainly for me. How do you not revere this man? Now, I said sit down because I didn't want to engage in ageism and whatever, but I told him to sit down. If it was somebody else, I would have been a lot worse, but it was Bill Polian. I wasn't going to do that to an 83-year-old who is an iconic figure in the world of football. Not that he needs it, but he has my profound respect and appreciation for all of his years of service to the National Football League. But what both he and his son needs to understand is that it's that respect and reverence that we have for him, for Bill Polian, as to why we were so incredulous over what we were reading or hearing about what he said as it pertained to the story of Bill Belichick being snubbed as a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, the son, along with Bill Polian, have come on the record to say that assertions that Bill Polian was the one that broached the idea of Bill Belichick being snubbed as a first ballot Hall of Famer is false. No problem. We should take him at his word. That wasn't my issue with him. My issue with Bill Polian is when he was quoted, when asked as to whether or not he voted for Bill Belichick as a first ballot Hall of Famer, his initial response was, he's 95% sure. What the hell does that mean? Even after his son spoke, even after Bill Polian has spoken, I still ain't buying what 95%. What does that mean? Bill Polian showed up on SiriusXM NFL radio after explaining he was reading from a prepared statement. This is what he said. I voted for Coach Bill Belichick in a Hall of Fame selection meeting. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has confirmed that fact through the auditors of the selection process. Again, I'll state that I never said that I believe that Coach Bill Belichick should, quote, wait a year, close quote, for enshrinement. This has been confirmed by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, numerous selectors who were in the room, and my vote for Coach Bill Belichick. As a Hall of Fame member and selector, I realize the importance of what we do. I've always tried as a selector to make these difficult choices with the utmost of objectivity. I've said on SiriusXM Radio and numerous other media outlets that I believe Coach Bill Belichick to be a first ballot Hall of Fame, Hall of Famer. My vote confirms that. Fine. We should believe every word he said. We're not going to sit up here on national radio and call Bill Polian a liar. What I would say, however, is where the hell did 95% come from? You either voted for him or you didn't. And when you say the Pro Football Hall of Fame has confirmed that fact through the auditors of the selection process, you were talking about you didn't know the process and whether it went through the order. That's not what you were being asked. Come on now, let's not get too technical. When somebody asks Bill Polian, did you vote for somebody to be in the Hall of Fame? It's a yes or no. It's not 95% sure. You mean 95% sure? You just voted 2 weeks ago. That's all that was about. Nothing more. That was where the skepticism elevated exponentially, sir, to Bill and his son Brian. That's where the speculation elevated. No other reason. There's nothing else that matters. Don't give us the technical mumbo jumbo. We don't care about that. What was being asked of you, Bill Polian, was, did you vote for Bill Belichick to be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Period. What do you mean you're 95% sure? What does that mean? You sure you're not? Not 95%. You did or you didn't. That was the point. Brian Polian is absolutely right to come to his father's defense, because the man has done too much for the game of football to have his integrity and his character impugned the way some have tried to do over the last couple of days. Me personally, my issue was that 95% quote. You did or you didn't. Not 95%, you did or you didn't. Period. When he clarified that, I'm good. Because in the end, what it comes down to is this. Bill Polian has meant too much to the game of football to remotely assist in depriving somebody who has meant as much to football as Bill Belichick has. I get Spygate. I get Spygate 2.0 in 2019. I get Deflategate. I hear all these controversies. He's been around. The man won 8 titles. 6 as a head coach, 2 as a coordinator. He's gone to 12 damn Super Bowls or 11 or 12 damn Super Bowls. He is universally recognized as the greatest coach probably who has ever lived. You don't leave that out as a first ballot Hall of Famer. You don't disgrace the game that way. And it's nice to know that Bill Polian played no role in that happening. It's nice to know. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Your phone calls and more up next, so don't go away. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.